Hello, everybody. Welcome into another episode of the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. This is a microcast today, so we'll be in and out fairly quickly. I am Ryan Wormley, sitting here with Derek Brown, D-Bro. We are talking about some crowded backfields heading into 2023 and trying to make sense of, are any of these guys at ADP worthy investments? We're going to talk about five different backfields, so we will jump right in, starting with one of the more interesting ones, because we're not entirely sure that this is what the depth chart is going to look like a couple of months from now, but we're talking about the Miami Dolphins. Right now, we have Raheem Mostert, Jeff Wilson, Devon Achain. I know there's a guy that might be adding to that list at some point, which is why you're a little hesitant on this backfield.
Yeah, I mean, Ryan, right now with the Dolphins, I am totally out on this backfield outside of taking some shots on, and the approach right now until we get, and this is all centered around the Dalvin Cook news. The approach right now for this backfield is until we get Dalvin Cook news, I'm just going to treat this kind of like how we've treated the New England Patriots backfield of yesteryear. Whoever the cheapest guy is who I'll draft sometimes in best ball for that correlation. If I got Ravens, things like that. So really, if we're looking at ADPs, that comes down, it's El Jefe, it's Jeff Wilson, baby. He's RB59, 171st overall, and this comes down to, in the six games that Jeff Wilson and Mostert were active together, or at least both played 37% of the snaps, you saw Wilson, he had almost 50% of the carries, more than Mostert. He had 45% of the red zone carries. Again, that's more than Mostert had. And if there's a guy that I think is going to be the more, I guess, breakaway player, considering he was top 12 in breakaway percentage last year amongst all running backs, that's the guy I'll sit here and push my chips in on. But honestly, really, Ryan, like it comes down to like, until we get the Cook news, I'm out on the Dolphins backfield altogether.
If we are sitting here 2 months from now and Dalvin Cook is not in Miami, are you changing your tune at all? I mean, is it still Jeff Wilson in that scenario just because of the low cost? I mean, you didn't really talk much about Achain, who a lot of people are excited about just because he's such a perfect fit in this offense with his ridiculous speed, being on the field with Waddle and Tyreek in a Mike McDaniel offense. That sounds kind of appealing, right?
It sounds appealing, but then you have a three-way backfield and Mostert got red zone work. Wilson got red zone work. Who's going to be the goal line back? I don't know any of us like can flip a coin and know who that's going to be.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, I avoided Achain because honestly, he's going at his RB41 right now. And if we don't get Dalvin there, you know he's going to bump up into the RB3 range. And there's too many other guys where it's less crowded backfields. We have a better idea on weekly touches, or I mean, hell, Worm, like, maybe it's a back that actually is the size to get red zone carries, and we can't say that about Achain. So, no, I'm out on him at cost.
Something to think about, you know, when you're looking at any backfield is handcuffs. If you want to see our projected starters and handcuff for every NFL team, head to fantasypros.com/handcuff to check that out. Dolphins, not really a backfield that would have a true handcuff because there's not really a true number one starter in that backfield currently. Let's move to the Chicago Bears, Khalil Herbert, Deonte Foreman. They drafted Roschon Johnson early on day three out of Texas, a guy that a lot of people like. Some people even had as high as their RB3 in this draft class. Of course, he didn't get as much shine playing behind Bijan in college, but a very talented back. I know at one point you were a big fan of Trestan Ebner last year. So there's a lot of names in this backfield, D-Bro.
There really is, Worm. And this comes down to, I mean, look, if you're in best ball, take your shots on any one of these three guys. But for me, in most drafts, this is including best ball and redraft, the guy, again, I'm going to go with the cheapest option. I don't want to sound like a broken record, but if we don't know where the touches are going to go, and each one of these guys is a talented early down runner, like last year, Khalil Herbert, 13 yards into contact per attempt. Deonte Foreman was also top 12, coming in at 10th. And Roschon comes out of college, and every single season over the last 3 years, he had 4.06 or higher yards after contact per attempt. Each one of these guys is a talented early down runner. So parsing out who's going to own that role, if it's going to be split three different ways, I don't really want to do that. And again, I'm just going to take the cheapest option, which also happens to be my favorite guy in Roschon Johnson, who's RB52 going at 157th overall. If you look at where he separates is his pass protection ability, and I saw this down in Senior Bowl before he broke his hand, as well as the metric stand up. He's the guy that I think is going to play on passing downs, And if he can carve out enough of the early down work, I think if you're looking at one guy that can step above the crowd to take over this backfield, my bet is on Roshan. And the fact that he's the cheapest just lines up. It's great, man. So no, I'm not going to pay this price of Khalil Herbert, who's being drafted right now in a lot of circles as an RB3. He's RB37 right now. People are so ingrained in it's got to be a Khalil Herbert season. And I just don't see that happening with that much conviction.
Really quickly, was Roshan your RB3? Where did you have him in the draft class?
He bounced, so pre-draft, he was in between my RB3 and RB5, and I want to say off the top of my head, post-draft, I bumped him up to my RB3.
Okay.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel, it's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Let's move to the Eagles here. They made the trade for DeAndre Swift during the NFL draft. They obviously added Rashad Penny earlier in the offseason. They still have Kenneth Gainwell. They still have Boston Scott for whenever they play the Giants. So which of these guys, like, I know you're not a Swift guy, but Penny also gets hurt a lot. Gainwell's never been, like, the guy. Is this another scenario where you're saying whoever is cheapest, or is there still a guy you might be highlighting here?
People are just drunk drafting DeAndre Swift. I don't understand it at all. Like, we've highlighted his pitfalls in this offense time and time and time after again on this show. So I'm not going to, like, drag people through that just to say that DeAndre Swift should not be a top 24 running back, and he's RB23. So, no, you can count me out on that. But I will take shots on Penny. I think that he's going to be one of my highest drafted players, both in redraft and best ball this year. I mean, his rushing talent, again, I have waxed poetic about this on numerous shows. So anybody that wants to hear my full Penny breakdown, go check out what we went through future RB1s, where we described the entire RB landscape. But the Eagles, I want their early down runner. And I think as long as he's healthy, that's going to be Rashad Penny for an offense that was second in red zone rushing rate last year, fourth in red zone scoring attempts per game. And I'll take some shots on Kenneth Gainwell, considering he's at RB51, because really, again, if I'm fading DeAndre Swift, especially in best ball, I want the leverage play of, okay, if I don't like Swift, maybe Gainwell eats into enough of the routes, and maybe he's the guy that pops on the passing downs.
And again, something to keep in mind for both the Eagles and the Bears is they have quarterbacks who run a lot. Those guys typically don't check down. We know the Eagles don't throw their running backs at all. We saw it with Miles Sanders last year. And a guy like Jalen Hurts and Justin Fields for the Bears are going to steal goal line touches. It's just going to happen. You're going to miss out on some of those touchdowns as well. So that's just an added layer to what is already a couple of very crowded backfields. Let's move to the Kansas City Chiefs. Isaiah Pacheco, obviously a, you know, late round guy last year, but broke out in kind of a big way. Really fun runner to watch running the ball. Jerick McKinnon had a huge finish to the season and probably won a lot of fantasy managers their championships last year, just catching touchdown passes right and left. And then you have the guy that they drafted in the first round a few years earlier, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who has never quite put it all together, has definitely shown flashes, is a talented guy, but has never quite gotten the usage or the trust that we've wanted to see. Of those three guys, are you targeting any of them out of the Kansas City backfield?
Oh, man, I'm avoiding Pacheco and I'm avoiding McKinnon. I don't have anything for Pacheco, man. Like, I don't want guys that are not going to catch passes. I get that he could be this year's Damian Harris or Jamal Williams, whoever you want to talk about. But no, his route per dropback rate was only 16% last year. His target per route run rate was only 16%, which was fifth lowest amongst all running backs with at least 20 targets. So nope, you can count me out on Pacheco. And McKinnon, you just talked about the run pure he got last year with leading the NFL in receiving touchdowns after week 13. That's not coming back, dude. Yeah. I'll take shots on Clyde Edwards-Helaire, though. And this is not take lock. I know that I've been a pro CEH guy in previous years, but he's being left for dead worm, like RB63. Last year when he was on the field, he was productive. I know people don't want to hear that, but he was top 20 in yards after contact per attempt. He was 11th in breakaway percentage. So yeah, people don't want to hear it, but he did flash talent last year, and he's the cheapest guy out of this backfield. So give me CEH or give me nothing out of KC.
I'm on record. There's no such thing as a bad pick after pick number 200, and CEH is going 201st right now. So, I mean, he's the exact type of guy. Like, he's in a great offense. He theoretically has a skill set to get a lot of these high-value touches we like. Again, tied to not only the best quarterback in football, but maybe the best offensive play caller and designer in football. I mean, it should be a great scenario for him. So going that late, it seems like kind of a no-brainer as a deep, deep sleeper. And let's get to the last one, the Seahawks here. Obviously, Ken Walker, Zach Charbonnet are the two sort of headliners. Everybody was super excited about Walker coming off of last season. Rashad Penny no longer in town. And then they went and drafted a guy that a lot of people really liked, who was RB3 for a lot of people himself, and Zach Charbonnet. They drafted him in the second round, giving him that early day two draft capital. So these are two guys that people aren't going to really know what to do with. They also still have DJ Dallas, Kenny McIntosh in this backfield, but this is really a two-headed monster you have to pick between, right?
Yeah, man. And look, I everybody remembers last year, I was one of the biggest Kenneth Walker stands on the planet. Like, I was telling people to draft him in dynasty leagues over Breece Hall. So this is not a shade on the talent. I love K-Dub, okay? But Pete Carroll smushed my heart. He stepped on it. He ripped off his shirt, flexed, and then just stomped on it, man. And I have not recovered. I have not recovered. So Kenneth Walker being drafted as a top 15 running back is absolute an insanity to me, because all of these parts and pieces for Kenneth Walker are not coming back. Like, after he was named the starter last year, he had almost 70% of the carries, almost 90% of the red zone work, 100% of the carries inside the 10. None of that is coming back. The best case scenario that you're hoping for Kenneth Walker to hit that ADP, and I don't think he can eclipse it and outperform it, is that Seattle becomes the new Cleveland Browns backfield, where Kenneth Walker, your best run out is you're hoping that he's Nick Chubb and Zach Charbonnet is Kareem Hunt. Honestly, both of these running backs, I really don't want to have anything to do with, man. I think the passing game in Seattle is being underrated. I want to sit here and be drafting an above consensus on Tyler Lockett, JSN, DK Metcalf, and Geno. So all of these backs, I just don't have a clue what they're going to do when they get into the red zone worm. But if I'm going to take a shot on one person, I'll get some exposure in best ball to Zach Charbonnet, because he is going as RB36. And if anything happens to Walker, then he's probably more likely the every down running back. And maybe he goes into like league winner status. But outside of some shots in best ball, nah, you can count me out. I'm just going to focus on the passing game.
Very quickly, no explanation, just give me a number. If the other guy gets hurt out of those two, where would you rank Kenneth Walker and where would you rank Zach Charbonnet if they were alone in this backfield?
Either guy, if they were alone in this backfield, would be a top 10 running back. Easy. Lock, okay. Set, forget.
To recap here, for the Dolphins, you really don't like anybody, especially as we wait on the Dalvin Cook news. But if you're picking anybody, it's Jeff Wilson as the cheapest guy. Chicago Bears, you're also taking the cheapest guy, but he also happens to be your favorite in Roschon Johnson. Philadelphia Eagles, if you're taking anybody, it's Rashad Penny, a guy that you really like at cost this year, and maybe sprinkling in some Kenneth Gainwell. Kansas City, you are liking Clyde Edwards-Helaire just purely how cheap he is. You are not taking Pacheco and McKinnon. And then with Seattle, if you're taking either of the two, it's Charbonnet, given the cost and potential role. Remember, everybody, to check out fantasypros.com/handcuff to easily find projected starters and handcuffs for every NFL backfield this season. For D-Row, I'm Ryan Wormley. Thanks for tuning into this microcast. We'll see you guys again next time.
Thank you for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram @FantasyPros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/FantasyPros.